Milo's Pro Rewards members. Save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
When he graduated from the police academy, he expected his first assignment to teach him everything the classroom couldn't. He expected long nights, difficult calls, veteran officers who wouldn't hesitate to point out his mistakes, and the slow process of earning the respect of people who had been doing the job for decades. He never imagined that one of the first lessons he'd learn would have nothing to do with police work at all. His first assignment was to one of the oldest precincts in the city. The station had been built more than a century earlier, back when the downtown district looked nothing like it did today. The surrounding buildings had changed with each generation, but the precinct remained much as it always had. Renovations had modernized the offices just enough to keep them functional without changing the building's character. Narrow hallways connected rooms that seemed to have been added whenever someone found an empty corner. Staircases led to unexpected places, and thick brick walls reminded everyone that the building had been standing long before anyone working there had been born. The older officers spoke about the station with the kind of affection usually reserved for an old family home. They complained about the plumbing, the outdated wiring, and the draft that somehow found its way through the windows every winter. But none of them wanted to work anywhere else. Generations of officers had begun and ended their careers there, and the building carried the quiet confidence of a place that had seen almost everything. He settled into the overnight shift more quickly than he expected. The busiest hours came and went in waves, followed by stretches of relative calm when patrol officers drifted back to the station to finish reports before returning to the streets. Those quieter hours gave him time to listen. Veteran officers shared stories about memorable cases, old partners, and incidents that had become department legends. He found himself learning as much over stale coffee in the report room as he had during months at the academy. No one went out of their way to mentor him, but they never needed to. Every shift offered another lesson, and before long he felt as though he belonged there. It was nearly a month before he noticed something that didn't fit. The station had been unusually quiet that night. A handful of patrol units were inside catching up on paperwork. The dispatcher was handling routine calls, and the desk sergeant was reviewing reports behind the front counter. He had just returned from dropping off paperwork when something caught his attention. Not a sound, but a subtle change in the room. Several officers looked up almost at the same moment. No one stopped working. No one spoke. A detective leaned back slightly from his desk. Another officer shifted a step toward the wall while continuing a conversation that never quite stopped. Even the desk sergeant glanced toward the lobby before returning to the stack of reports in front of him. The entire movement lasted only a few seconds. Curious, he followed their gaze. A man had entered the station, and nothing about him seemed particularly unusual at first glance. He appeared to be middle-aged, neatly dressed, and walked with the relaxed confidence of someone who knew exactly where he was going. Only after a second look did something seem out of place. His clothes belonged to another era. The brown cardigan, pressed trousers, and polished shoes looked more appropriate for an office several decades earlier than a police station in the present day. The stranger acknowledged no one as he crossed the lobby. Rather than approaching the front desk, he continued toward a hallway leading into the oldest section of the building. Assuming the man had wandered somewhere he shouldn't, the young officer followed. The distance between them closed quickly, yet the stranger never reacted to being called after. He neither turned nor changed his pace. He simply continued toward the far end of the hallway, where the original brick wall marked the end of the corridor. Only then did the impossible happen. Without hesitating, the man continued walking until he reached the wall and passed straight through it. There was no doorway, no hidden passage. One moment he was there, the next the hallway was empty. The officer stopped where he was, convinced there had to be an explanation he simply hadn't seen. He examined the wall himself, expecting to discover some concealed entrance hidden within the old brickwork. There was nothing. The wall was exactly what it appeared to be. By the time he turned around, the desk sergeant had quietly wandered into the hallway. He didn't seem surprised to find the young officer standing there staring at the wall. If anything, his expression suggested he had been expecting this moment for some time. The officer asked whether anyone else had ever seen the man. The answer surprised him far more than the apparition itself, but nearly everyone who had worked in the station for any length of time eventually encountered him. No one claimed to know who he had been when he first appeared or why he walked the same path through the building night after night. Older officers remembered hearing about him from the generation before them, who in turn had heard the same stories from officers who had retired decades earlier. Somewhere along the way, people had stopped trying to solve the mystery. The man simply became another part of the station. When he asked why no one had warned him, the sergeant admitted there would have been little point. Every new officer dismissed the stories until seeing the figure for themselves. Experience had taught the veterans that the building introduced its oldest resident in its own time. The conversation ended there. No one gathered around to discuss what had happened. The detective continued typing reports. The dispatcher answered another call. An officer complained that someone had finished the last of the coffee. Within minutes, the station had settled back into the familiar rhythm of an overnight shift. For everyone else, nothing unusual had happened, and for him, everything had changed. Over the weeks that followed, he saw the man again, then again, always entering through the front lobby, always wearing the same clothes, always following the same route through the station before disappearing into the brick wall at the end of the hallway. What surprised him most was not how often the man appeared, but how quickly his own reaction changed. The first encounter left him questioning what he had seen. By the fourth or fifth, he found himself responding much like the older officers had. He would glance up as the familiar figure crossed the lobby, unconsciously step aside to leave the hallway clear, and then return to whatever report lay in front of him. Without ever realizing when it had happened, he had accepted the impossible as just another part of working the midnight shift in the old precinct. The years settled into a familiar rhythm the way they often do in police work. Partners came and went, supervisors retired, and every few months, another young officer arrived fresh from the academy, eager to prove himself. The city outside the station continued to grow and change, but inside the old precinct, the routines remained remarkably consistent. Reports still piled up on the same desks, the overnight shift still gathered around stale coffee between calls, and the man in the brown cardigan continued to make his quiet walk through the building. No one ever discovered a pattern to his appearances. Sometimes weeks would pass without anyone seeing him, and then he would appear several times in the span of a few nights. It was always after midnight, always beginning in the front lobby and always ending in the same hallway, where he disappeared into the original brick wall. The route never changed, nor did his appearance. He simply walked with the quiet confidence of someone who belonged there. Over time, the extraordinary became ordinary. Officers no longer interrupted conversations when he appeared. They instinctively shifted a step to one side, allowing him to pass before continuing whatever they had been discussing. Detectives kept typing reports, dispatchers answered radio traffic, and the desk sergeant rarely looked up for more than a moment. It wasn't that anyone had stopped believing what they were seeing. Quite the opposite. The man had become such a familiar part of the station that acknowledging him seemed no more necessary than acknowledging the old clock hanging above the report room door. It wasn't long before he realized his own reaction had changed as well. The first time he had seen the stranger disappear into the wall, he'd spent the rest of the shift trying to convince himself there had to be a rational explanation. A few months later, he caught himself stepping aside, in the lobby, without even thinking about it. The realization came only afterward, and it bothered him more than the apparition ever had. Somehow, without noticing when it happened, he had accepted the impossible as part of his normal workday. The first time a new officer experienced the same thing, he couldn't help but remember his own introduction to the station's oldest mystery. The young patrolman hurried into the report room looking pale and thoroughly confused, asking if anyone had just seen a man walk into the old hallway. The room fell quiet for only a moment before one of the detectives calmly asked whether the man had been wearing a brown cardigan. When the officer answered that he had, the detective simply nodded and returned to his paperwork. The young man stood there waiting for someone to laugh or explain the joke. No one did. Later that morning, near the end of the shift, he found the officer standing alone in the hallway, staring at the brick wall with the same bewildered expression he remembered wearing years earlier. The younger man wanted answers, but there were very few to give. He explained that nearly everyone who spent enough time in the station eventually saw the same figure, always following the same path and always disappearing in the same place. Beyond that, no one knew anything with certainty. That answer rarely satisfied anyone. Like every officer before him, the young patrolman wanted to know whether anyone had ever identified the man. It was a reasonable question, and one that generations of officers had tried to answer. Old department photographs had been compared to the descriptions. Personnel records had been searched. Someone had even spent weeks digging through archived newspapers, convinced there had to be an article about an employee who had died in the building decades earlier. Every few years, another officer became convinced they were finally going to solve the mystery, only to discover they had reached the same dead end as everyone else before them. Eventually, the searches stopped, not because people lost their curiosity, but because they accepted that some questions might never have answers. The station had been standing for so many years that pieces of its history had simply disappeared. Records had been misplaced, renovations had erased old rooms, and the people who might have known the truth had long since passed away. Whatever connected the quiet stranger to the building had been buried somewhere beyond anyone's ability to uncover it. As the years passed, the haunting became almost a tradition within the overnight shift. No one warned new officers about the man in the hallway because experience had shown it made little difference. Most assumed they were being teased until they saw him themselves, and after that, there was very little anyone needed to say. They all went through the same progression of disbelief, confusion, curiosity, and finally acceptance. The details changed from one generation to the next, but the experience never seemed to. One evening, while sorting through evidence with one of the department's oldest detectives, the conversation drifted toward the station's history. Someone mentioned the man in the hallway, and the detective smiled before admitting he'd stopped counting how many times he'd seen him sometime during the 1980s. He said it so casually that it took a moment for the significance of the statement to sink in. The ghost had been walking those halls for decades before he had ever joined the department, and long before that detective had reported for his first shift. The realization stayed with him. Police officers often spoke about the history of the department as though it belonged to the people who worked there, but the older he became, the more he suspected the building kept its own history. Officers arrived full of ambition, built careers, and eventually retired, while the old station remained exactly where it had always been. Through all of those years, one silent figure continued walking the same familiar path through the lobby and into the brick wall at the end of the hallway, as though the passing of time meant nothing at all. By the time retirement finally arrived, he had spent more than three decades wearing the badge. The city had changed in ways he never could have imagined during those first years on patrol. Neighborhoods that had once kept officers busy every night had become quiet residential streets, while parts of the city that barely existed when he graduated from the academy had grown into thriving business districts. New precincts had opened, equipped with technology that would have seemed impossible when he'd first started, and younger officers now relied on computers and digital reports in ways his generation never had. The old downtown station, however, remained much the same. Its paint had been refreshed more than once, the wiring had finally been replaced, and a few walls had been moved to create larger offices. But beneath those improvements, it was still the same building that had welcomed him on his first assignment. The familiar creak of the staircase, the uneven tile in the front hallway, and the worn wooden rail leading to the second floor had all survived the passing years. When he cleaned out his locker for the last time, several of the younger officers shook his hand and wished him well. They joked that he'd probably be back within a month because no one ever truly retired from police work. He smiled, gathered the small box holding the photographs and keepsakes accumulated over a career, and walked out the front doors without looking back. He told himself there was no reason to. Life after retirement proved quieter than he expected. For the first time in decades, he slept through the night instead of beginning each evening by putting on a uniform. The phone no longer rang with requests to cover another shift, and weekends gradually stopped feeling different from weekdays. He found plenty to occupy his time, but every so often he caught himself wondering what was happening at the old station during those familiar overnight hours. Several years passed before he heard the news. The department had officially approved plans to replace the downtown precinct. Operations would be moved into a larger, modern facility on the other side of the city. And once the transition was complete, the old building would be closed. He wasn't surprised. Everyone had known the day would eventually come. The building had served the department well for generations, but age was becoming impossible to ignore. Maintaining it cost more each year, and no amount of renovation could change the fact that it had been designed for another era of policing. Still, hearing the decision felt strangely personal. A few weeks before the move, the department announced an open house for former employees. Retired officers were invited to walk through the station one last time before it closed for good. Friends from different generations gathered in the lobby, swapping stories and laughing about incidents that had somehow become funnier with each passing year. He spent most of the afternoon wandering through the building by himself. The briefing room looked smaller than he remembered. The report room still smelled faintly of coffee and paper, and the old holding cell seemed almost untouched despite decades of use. Everywhere he looked, another memory surfaced, a long-forgotten conversation, a partner who had retired years before, a supervisor whose voice he could still hear as clearly as if the man were standing in the hallway. Eventually, almost without thinking, his feet carried him toward the oldest part of the station. The hallway looked exactly as it always had. Fresh paint covered the walls, but the bricks at the far end remained unchanged. Sunlight filtered through a nearby window instead of the familiar fluorescent glow he remembered from countless overnight shifts. Yet the place felt remarkably untouched by time. He stood there longer than he intended. Several retired officers passed behind him, smiling as they continued their tours, but none interrupted him. They all understood why he was there. More than one of them had paused in that very hallway during the afternoon, lingering for reasons they probably couldn't have explained to anyone who had never worked in the building. He found himself wondering something he had never considered while he was still employed. What would happen after everyone left? For decades, the station had never truly been empty. Someone was always working, answering phones, writing reports, or preparing for the next shift. The building had always been alive with voices and footsteps. Soon, that would end. Would the man still make his quiet walk through the lobby if no officers remained to see him? Had he always been there, whether anyone witnessed him or not, or had generations of police officers somehow become part of whatever routine had kept him returning to the same hallway year after year? There were no answers. There never had been. As he turned to leave, he glanced one last time toward the brick wall. For just a moment, he thought he caught the familiar movement of someone crossing the lobby beyond the hallway. It was little more than a figure passing through the edge of his vision, dressed in the same muted colors he had seen so many times before. He didn't call out. Instead, he smiled to himself. Whether he had actually seen the man one last time or whether memory had briefly blurred with the afternoon light no longer seemed important. Some mysteries had accompanied him through an entire career, and he'd long since stopped believing they needed to be solved. He walked back through the station at an unhurried pace, pausing once at the front entrance before stepping outside. Behind him, the heavy wooden door closed with the same familiar sound he had heard thousands of times before. A few months later, demolition crews arrived to begin preparing the property for redevelopment. Fences went up around the building, equipment filled the parking lot, and for the first time in well over a century, no officers reported for the midnight shift inside the old precinct. Years afterward, he occasionally drove past the site. A modern police facility eventually stood there, brighter, larger, and designed for the future. New officers began their careers without ever knowing the maze of hallways that had once occupied the corner or the generations of men and women who had built their lives inside its walls. Sometimes he wondered if anyone would ever tell them about the old station. He hoped someone would. Not because he expected them to believe the story, but because every department deserves its legends. Most eventually fade as the people who live them grow older and pass them along one final time. A fortunate few survive because someone chooses to remember. As for the man in the brown cardigan, perhaps he had finally found the peace that had eluded him for so many years. Or perhaps somewhere in the quiet hours after midnight, he was still making his familiar walk through an old police station that no longer existed, watched over by officers whose shifts had ended long before.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Capture your favorite summer feeling with Pandora Jewelry. Discover a collection inspired by the sunshine, freedom, and moments that make the season unforgettable. From sun-kissed medals to personalized pieces ready to be engraved with your summer mantra, each design moves with you, from beach days to golden nights and every memory in between. Shop Pandora Jewelry's new summer collection in-store or online at Pandora.net and let your summer unfold.
I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the VivGuard Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VivGuardMyWay.com. That's VYVGART MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about VivGuard Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenics.